please. Acts chapter number 16. And verse number 16, Acts 16, and verse 16. The Bible says, and it came to pass, as we went to prayer, a certain damsel, possessed with the spirit of divination, met us, which brought her masters much gain by soothsaying. The same followed Paul and us and cried, saying, these men are the servants of the Most High God, which show unto us the way of salvation. And this did she many days. But Paul, being grieved, turned and said to the Spirit, I command thee in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her. And he came out the same hour. And when her masters saw that the hope of their gains was gone, they caught Paul and Silas and drew them into the marketplace unto the rulers and brought them to the magistrate, saying, these men, being Jews, do exceedingly trouble our city, and teach customs which are not lawful for us to receive, neither to observe, being Romans. And the multitude rose up together against them, and the magistrates rent off their clothes and commanded to beat them. And when they had laid many stripes upon them, they cast them into prison, charging the jailer to keep them safely, who having received such a charge, thrust them into the inner prison and made their feet fast in stocks. And at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them. And suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundation of the prison was shaken. And immediately all the doors were opened and everyone's bands were loosed. Hallelujah. Could you stretch your hands towards heaven and ask the Lord to help us tonight? Father, we realize, Lord, our insufficiency. Father, knowing, God, that we can do nothing without you. So, Lord, I plead with you tonight earnestly, God, to touch my heart and to my mind. And let me break this bread of life, God, that I might be able to help someone in this service tonight. Anoint ears to hear, hearts to accept. Let your will be done in the name of Jesus. Amen. 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 In the latter part of this scripture, we see Paul and Silas put into a bad place for doing that which was right. Amen. They were put into a difficult situation for just doing what they were supposed to do. Amen. Have you ever found yourself in life put into a difficult situation for doing the right thing? Doing the right thing. Sometimes when we endeavor to do the right thing, the devil somehow gets involved and turns things and tries to get folks to see that our motive was something that our motive was not. Amen. And you can plainly see here that Paul and Silas had a good motive. Amen. They did. Now, I want to talk to you just a little while tonight. Just a little while tonight. And I want to stop in the midst of this text. And I'm going to preach on a place of praise here in just a minute. But I want to take time to stop and look at something. that I think is vastly overlooked in this scripture. It's vastly overlooked in this scripture. You see, I understand we often talk about how that Paul was being grieved at what this damsel was doing, and he turns and he rebukes the devil that's inside of her to come out of her. And we see that, don't we? But somehow, after that point in this text, we let that young girl slip through the cracks. Amen. We let her slip through the cracks. We focus our attention on the magistrates. We focus our attention on the beating that Paul and Silas took. We focus our attention, amen, on the stocks and the bonds and the jailer and all the other things. But could we take time just for a moment tonight to look at that young lady who was set free from that self-same hour? Amen. Now, isn't that a wonderful thought right there? That young lady was set free from that self-same hour. Now, she was possessed by the devil, and the devil was using her. Amen. But somehow, in the course of events, we miss her in this text, and we forget to stop and say, thank God right there for that young lady being delivered from sin. We need to stop right where we're at sometimes and realize these lives that God's changing, these hearts that God's moving upon and lives he's rearranging. We need to take time in our schedule and say, Lord, thank you for what you've done for their lives. Amen. Hallelujah. I think that would be okay. Brother Tolliver, you probably never had this problem. You probably never ever let anybody, you know, go unnoticed. You probably do your best to never let that happen. Brother Tolliver, I'm sure you've done your best through the years to never let anybody go unnoticed. And you know, as pastors, what they try to do their best. And I was pastoring a church. It wasn't this large, but we ran a little over 200 on Sunday night. And it was a good church. And I had a man there, and his name was Randall Isaacs. He was a big old country boy, just to be honest with you. He was about 6'3" or 6'4" and about 250 or 60 pounds. And he was, when I got there, you know, he just tall, lanky country boy, never hardly said nothing, just never hardly said nothing. Brother Randall was a very sick man, though. He got lung cancer, and it went from his lung into his brain. And we went to one surgery in Indianapolis, and it was an 8-hour brain surgery. And the surgeon come out, and he told us we got it all. We feel like we got most of it or all of it. And about 6 months later, they come to us again, and they said, well, Randall's got to have another surgery. That tumor has grown back. So we went back to Indianapolis again for about another 6-hour surgery. And Randall was just one of those men that never complained. He didn't have to be seen. He never had to walk up front. He sat about halfway back of the church, never said anything, just was a good man. And then you know, that's all well and good. And then, you know, that night we were in revival, and his wife had come to him earlier in the month and told me, now that cancer's come back again, and this time they're turning him over to hospice. There's no reason at all to do any more surgeries. And as pastor, my heart is leaning that way. I'd like to see the Lord heal him. You understand what I'm saying? I want to see the Lord heal him. So that night, Brother Randall Isaacs, we were in revival with Brother Jeremy Spurlock. I don't know if you know him or not. Good man. We were in revival with Brother Jeremy, and we was having quite a move of God. And that Sunday night, I mean, the power of God was falling. And Brother Randall, because of the surgeries, he spoke real slow and couldn't hardly speak, you know, and he'd just talk real slow. And he walked, you know, it was a long church. It wasn't wide like this one. It was almost this wide, but it was long and had a pretty good steep incline to it. And an altar call, I saw Brother Randall, and I was really worried about him walking all the way down there, because he said about, you know, midways back a little further. And he stood up and he walked down that aisle, and that big old man putting them big old feet one in front of the other, just labored up there to the altar, and he got down at that altar and began to pray, and everybody else was praying, and we were praying for Brother Randall, and I got down there beside him, and you know, it got Brother Randall got through, and I thought, well, you know, Lord, I'm hoping you've healed him. And Brother Randall looked at me, and as only a big old country boy can do, he looked at me and he said, "Brother J.R." I said, "Yes, sir." He said, "I'm praying for the Holy Ghost." I had let him slip through the cracks. You under what I'm saying? I had let him slip through the cracks. I said, "I'll tell you what, Brother Randall. I said, if you'll come back tomorrow night, we'll pray, and I believe God will fill you with the Holy Ghost tomorrow night." And that next night, Brother Randall, he got up as service went on, and Brother Jeremy did just a great job preaching, and here come Brother Randall down through that congregation again, and there he was, and come down to that altar, and he got down there, and he could just barely have strength to walk that far, but that big old man raised his hands towards heaven, and all at once the Holy Ghost hit him. He began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit of God gave him the utterance. Amen. I want to help you just a little while tonight. He began to talk with other tongues as the Spirit of God gave the utterance, and he prayed in a long, long time. I was worried about him, to tell you the truth. He prayed so long, and after he got up, Brother Randall, he couldn't speak real plain because of the surgeries, and he just handed me a little piece of paper. He knew he was dying. He knew just in a few days he was dying, and this is what he gave me, Brother Tommy. He gave me the scripture, and he said in Revelations 21 and verse 4, "In God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and neither shall there be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away." Amen. I want you to know tonight, amen, you might have been coming here for years, but you don't have to slip through the cracks. I said, you don't have to slip through the cracks tonight. Amen. You can come up to this altar, raise your hands towards heaven, and God will pay attention to you. I said, you can walk up here tonight, and you can begin to praise and magnify God and glorify His name, and all at once, heaven will recognize you. The power of God will come down and rest on you. Friend, I want you to know tonight, amen, you might feel like, amen, that you are one of the most persons in this church, or people in this church that nobody notices, but I want you to know right now, heaven notices you. I'm here to tell somebody tonight, you might not be a singer, but heaven hears you sing. Amen. You might not be a preacher, amen, but heaven hears you when you pray. Oh, great God in heaven, I want to talk to you just a little while. This little damsel seemed so insignificant, but that day she was set free. That day the Lord, amen, delivered her from a devil she was possessed with. Amen. I need to talk to you just a little while. You know, one of the most terrible things is to feel like you're not important, or to feel like you're not needed, or to feel like you're not where, you know, everybody else is. And you just wonder, amen, Lord, does anybody even know that I'm here? Amen.
you go through and you sing just as loud as everybody else, and you pray just as long as everybody else. Amen. But you're the quiet type, so you just sort of sit there in your seat and you don't say a whole lot. Amen. And you feel like you're pretty insignificant. But could I tell you tonight, God does not have an insignificant child. Amen. That's right. I said, God does not have one child, amen, that he thinks is better than the other. God is no respecter of persons. Brother Robbie, if God filled me with the baptism of the Holy Ghost, he'll fill any saved individual in this house with the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Would you help me just a little while? You ain't insignificant. You're not being looked over. Help me preach to you just a little while. Now it looks like that girl, amen, was looked over, don't it? Wouldn't you agree? Amen. Her masters don't even talk about her anymore. She ain't worth nothing. Amen. Well, she can't do soothsaying anymore. Amen. She might as well just get on out of there. She ain't worth anything. But you know what I think was happening at midnight in the prison? Paul began to think about that young lady's smile as she walked away from him. Paul began to think about how wonderful it was. Amen. That God delivered another soul from the grasp of the devil. So there's no wonder at midnight, amen, Paul and Silas, amen, began to praise and magnify God, because God had just touched an insignificant little girl and delivered her. Amen. Wouldn't you like to be? You know, it's one time I'd like to just slip in the congregation and say, God, if you're blessing those that's not out front. Maybe somebody needs to stand up right now and point at yourself and say, God, he's talking about me. He's talking about me. Lord, I'm never going to sing a song. Lord, I'm never going to preach a sermon. But Lord, I'm yours, and I sure like to have your power tonight. Lord, I'm yours, and I sure like the glory to fall on my life tonight. Do you feel insignificant? I said, do you feel insignificant tonight? Don't let the devil talk to you that way. You are important to God. Well, you say, I really don't have much to praise him for. Amen. I don't have much to really say. Amen. I think we've got a lot to praise the Lord over. I want to praise him tonight because he looked down through the ages of time, looked in that little house, amen, in Ohio, saw a good for nothing boy, and he bought me. The song says, he sought me and he bought me. For as much as you know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by the traditions of your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. If there's no other reason for you to raise your hand tonight, why don't you raise your hand? Because you've been redeemed. Amen. Because you've been purchased. Because you've been bought by the blood of the Lamb. Is there anybody in this building that knows what it is to be bought by the blood of the Lamb? Hallelujah. If you do, raise your hands and praise him tonight. Amen. If you don't, if that's not good enough, how about this? Amen. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. Hallelujah. Is there anybody here been pardoned from your sins? Amen. Is there anybody here, amen, that have been saved? Did you have a list as long as the state of Texas of your sins and your wickedness? But all at once, that red blood flowed over your life, and you are pardoned tonight. Now, I'm going to ask you something. I don't want to embarrass you. I don't want to embarrass you. Most of you had plenty to eat tonight. Most of you got a good place to sleep tonight. Anybody here? Anybody here tonight? You've been blessed, and nobody rode a horse in tonight, did they? Thank God. Had a little cold out there. Amen. But most of you probably drove in some kind of nice automobile, didn't you? Amen. Most of you probably did, didn't you? Amen. So you've got that to be thankful for. Look over around you. Do you have your kids here with you tonight? Do you have your children here in the house of God with you tonight? How about just in a couple days, I'll be married to Sister Alexander 33 years and 3 months. Amen. 33 years and 3 months. It gets better every day. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. If you got your wife with you, amen, you're a blessed person. Hallelujah. Look over at your wife and say, you're blessed. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise God. Praise God. Hallelujah. You're blessed, I know. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Do you know what I'm talking about tonight? I'm talking about being able to praise the Lord for what He's done. That's what Paul and Silas was doing in that prison house that night. They were praising the Lord for what He had done. He had set free a girl that had been bound by the devil. Amen. I want you to know you got something to praise the Lord over. Let me tell you the rest of that story. Amen. Brother Randall, he got bad. He got bad where he couldn't come to church no more. He got bad where he couldn't come to the house of God anymore. But Brother Randall, if you wanted to talk to him about anything, he wasn't going to talk to you about his brain tumor. He wasn't going to talk to you about how sick he was. Everybody he wanted to meet, everybody that come in, he said, God gave me the Holy Ghost. God gave me the Holy Ghost. God gave me the Holy Ghost. Help me preach to you just a little while. Is there anybody in this building tonight that would like to have that same baptism of the Holy Ghost? Is there anybody in this building tonight that knows what it is? Amen. To desire something good from God. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Amen. Amen. But my God, now I'm not Holy Ghost or nothing. Amen. I don't believe you gotta talk in tongues to go to heaven, but I'd sure like to be talking in tongues when I head that way. Hallelujah. That's all I'll say. Amen. How many believe, amen, that it'd be a lot easier to go to heaven, amen, if you had the Holy Ghost helping you? Amen. I believe that, don't you? Amen. As a matter of fact, I'm such a terrible person. I needed the Holy Ghost to help me every day. Well, you know what the Bible says? But my God shall supply all your need according to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus. You know what, tonight I believe He'll give it to you. I said I believe He'll give you the Holy Ghost if you come and seek Him. Now wait a minute here, Brother JR, we've been preaching to the lost. I understand that, but the Lord has dealt with me today. I'm telling you, you ain't going to fall through the cracks. You're coming up higher. You ain't going to fall through the cracks. You're raising up higher. God's bringing you out of that place that you're at and taking you to the place that you need to be. Is there anybody in this building, amen, wanting to move up and get closer, amen, to God? I'd like to go higher and higher. Hallelujah. I'd like to get so close to Him, amen, that I can feel the breath of God breathe up my shoulder as He speaks to me. Is there anybody here that wants to be close enough to God to hear His voice? I'm almost done. You know, I wish tonight, let me tell you about an old boy we had in our church. His name at Dryden Road. His name was Gary Scott. That was his name. He worked at General Motors, made good money. Working at General Motors, was faithful to the house of God. Come every service. Every service, Brother Tommy, he was there. Him, his wife, his daughter Michelle, they come to every service. Brother Gary, brother, I'm not pointing you out or anything, but about where you're sitting there in that sort of checkered shirt back there by your wife there with your arm around, he sat about back there, maybe just one seat back from there. You know, he just sort of sat there, you know, just quiet as quiet could be. And God sent us there at Dryden Road a Holy Ghost revival. I mean, he sent us a Holy Ghost revival. And I think there was 30 got the baptism in those 2 weeks. I mean, God sent us a Holy Ghost revival. And one of those guys that got filled with the Holy Ghost in that revival was a man that worked at GM that as quiet could be and would never say anything. His name was Gary Scott. And all at once, Gary Scott come up to the altar and began to seek the Lord, and the Lord filled him with the Holy Ghost. Amen. Now that ain't the end of the story. Brother Gary Scott got tired of sitting back there and up in Dayton, some of the folks sit on the pulpit, so he moved up on the pulpit over there on the platform, and he sat back in the platform, and the power of God would begin to move, and you'd see him stand up. And when Brother Gary Scott, that quiet man of God, would stand up, and Dryden Road's platform is about this high or a little bit higher. You've been there, I'm sure, Brother Tommy. Amen. All at once, Brother Gary Scott, he would get beside himself. That boy that sat back there that never said nothing. That man that sat back there that never did anything. All at once, the power of the Holy Ghost would hit him. He'd come out of that pew, run over, he'd take a jump. I'm not going to do it. Amen. I ain't the spirit yet to do it. Amen. I might be just in a little bit later. Amen. But he'd come running, Brother Tommy, and he'd jump from right there, and he'd land about right out here. And then he'd take off and run around the building. Amen. And you remember him, brother. Amen. Oh, what a great man he was. You know what he ended up being? He's been the Dryden Road Sunday School superintendent for a little over 20 years now. Hallelujah. Amen. And I want you to know right now, he went from sitting back there to sitting up here, from quiet, amen, to worshiping God. Is there anybody in this building that needs to break out of your shell? I said, is there anybody in this building that needs to break out of your cell? Raise your hands and magnify and glorify the God of heaven. Is there anybody that needs to turn it over and let God move in your heart and move in your life one more time? Wouldn't it be good if you turned loose? My little wife, she's your buddy. She likes you. Amen. My little wife was so quiet. I mean, she's quiet as she could be. She didn't do nothing in church. Amen. She just would sort of sit there and praise God when everybody else praised God. And she had a little problem. Amen. Too late now. I'm about to get one of them looks. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. But Brother Tommy, now don't fall out with me here. Amen. Don't fall out with me here. I don't know how you believe. Don't really matter right now. I'll tell you what happened to my wife. Amen. She was having a problem with the world. Amen. The world get a hold of her and pulled on her. And she couldn't get over that. And she couldn't get over that. She'd try to get over and she'd go right. The devil would tempt her again. She'd feel that temptation and that pull of the world. And she'd struggle with it. And she'd struggle with it. And she'd struggle with it. And one night, she went down to Bond, Kentucky. Hallelujah. I'll never forget it. Amen. We were at Bond, Kentucky, and there wasn't nothing special going on. I mean, it was an altar call, great, good service. But that young lady went to the altar and she made up her mind. And she walked up, wasn't worried about who was looking at her. And she got down to that altar and she told God, she said, "Lord, I am not getting up from this place until you change me. Amen. Until you change me." And she got down. 2 hours later, she got up and she's never had a problem with those things again. Amen. You want me to tell you what happened? An old time sanctifying power got a hold of her. Help me preach to you just a little while. I said a power that changed her desires, a power that come into her life and moved on her. Hallelujah. I want you to know right now, amen, there's a sanctifying power that'll come in this place that'll change your desires. It'll change your want-tos. It'll give you a praise in your heart. It'll give you a praise on your lips. It's an old time heaven sin. Hallelujah. Sanctification time. God called me to preach, called me to evangelize, and I thought every evangelist wife needed to know how to sing. Amen. I did, brother. I thought she needed to know how to sing. And I knew she could sing because I listened to her all the time. I knew she could sing good. And Brother L.D. Savage called me and said, "Brother J.R., this certain preacher can't come this weekend for revival. He's having to leave early. Would you come and fill in for him? I'm 10 hours away." I said, "Yes, I will." 10 hours away. I said, "Yes, I will." Amen. We got in there that day and I told her, I said, "You're singing tonight." I said, "You're singing tonight." And she got up and you got to know Brother Savage. I know you know him. He is quite a card. Amen. You can tell him I said that. Hallelujah. He's quite the case. And he knew my wife was nervous and he got her up and told that this was first time she was going to be singing in the house of God. And all at once they hit the piano. I mean, and they started to play. And that little blonde-haired wife of mine, she began to sing. And it sounded like an angel to me. Amen. And the power of God. Amen. When she got done. Amen. She's still this way. When she got done, the microphone was dripping. Her hands had got so sweaty. And the microphone was just dripping with sweat because she's so sprayed and she was so scared. I'm talking to somebody that feels like you're slipping through the cracks and God won't do nothing for you, but I'm here to tell you tonight, he's here to do something for you tonight. I said, he's here to do something. I'm not worthy. Wait a minute. There ain't none of us worthy, but he is. I said, he is. I said, he is. Is there anybody in this building that feels like Jesus is worthy to be praised? Amen. Hallelujah. There's some young ladies in here that God would use you if you'd let go and come to that altar and say, "God, I'm not a moving until you change me." There'd be some young men come to this altar, raise your hands towards heaven and say, "God, I'm not a moving until you change me." And I'll tell you what would happen. You'd have a revival around here that would shake the state of Oklahoma. I said, you'd have a revival around here where folks would be healed, saved, baptized with the Holy Ghost. It'll all start when somebody realizes God helps those that feel it's sick. Amen. One more story and I'll be done. Man,
it's all right, brother. Obey God. Oh, you're preaching right.
I'm come bad, on. Teresa.
You're preaching wrong.
We were in revival at Randy Webb's. I'll tell us to be done. We were in revival at Randy Webb's. We were having a great move of God. I mean, we was having a great move of God. Had already got 16 in 1 week. 16 had been filled with the baptism.
Hallelujah.
It was Easter weekend. And on Good Friday, we were there till, 1 o'clock in the morning. And a girl that never moved.
Come on.
She got laid out on the floor. And Brother Randy Webb saying, "Now, Brother J.R., you've got to stay next week." And I told him, I said, "Brother, I said, I can't stay next week. I got to be at Brother Savage's church. Start revival there. Oh, call him. I said, I'll see what I can do." I got on the phone to Brother Savage. "Brother Savage, Brother J.R., you can do what you want to do, but I really need you to come next week too, man. We need revival."
Yeah.
Brother Randy's saying he needed revival.
No pressure.
Brother Savage saying he's needing revival.
Yeah.
I got on the phone, and there's a great preacher, I won't call his name, at revival at Dryden Road at that same time. And Brother Benny didn't have to be there. And I said, "Brother, what should I do?" And he said, "Brother, if you're having revival, stay there at any cost." Yeah. You know. And I thought, okay, that sounds good. But I didn't feel right about it, and I knew I needed to talk to Brother Benny. And he's got a sweet tone with me that he don't have with many people.
All right.
Got a sweet tone. He's real sweet to me sometimes. And he said, I called him on the phone, and I said, I explained to him my situation. And he said, "J.R., one of them is the will of God." Sweet tone now. Just slightly below a yell.
Yeah.
Amen. Hallelujah. Oh. "One of them is the will of God, and one of them is not."
Oh.
"Get your hide up in the top of that trailer and pray it through." Amen. So that's what I did. I got my hide up in the top of that trailer and I prayed it through. Amen. God told me to go. Brother Randy's never forgave me.
Oh.
Amen. But I decided to go. Amen. Oh my, I thought we're going to have revival. God's told me to go. Leaving one like this, there ain't no way we're going to not have revival. I got there Sunday night, Easter Sunday night. Boy, we were ready to go. I thought we were ready to have it. Amen. I got up and preached everything I knew. Some things I didn't know and wasn't sure about.
Yeah.
Amen. But I preached everything that I could. Amen. They sat there and looked at me about like y'all are now.
Ooh.
Anyway.
Nice.
Amen.
Oh.
But they sat there and they looked at me. I got up and I took that long walk with my wife back to the trailer.
Yeah.
And my sweet little wife said, "You missed it." That's all she had to say. You know, I thought, I'll just show her. Monday night I prayed. Monday I prayed, sought God. I knew it was the will of God. I got up, Brother Tommy, Monday night. I mean, I laid into it. Preaching. I was trying my best. About the only thing I stripped was the gears inside of me. Amen. I was hurting when I got done with that sermon. Nothing.
All right.
Nothing.
Yeah, I've been there.
Walked back to that trailer. Sweet little wife next to me. Boy, you really missed it. Amen. That next night, I tell you what I did. I went back and prayed some more that day, and I sought God. And that next night, I felt God come on me again to preach on the company's coming. Amen. I preaching on company was coming. And all at once, there was a young, insignificant little girl by the name of Teresa Horton that sat in the back. Amen. She sat in the back of the church, just a 15, 16-year-old girl. Amen. Half of the young people in the church was backslid. Amen. Half of them, most of them were, to tell you the truth, maybe three-quarters of them were backslid. She was one of the only ones that wasn't. She got up from the back. There was a side door in front of everybody without being asked by anybody. She got up. Here's what she did, brother. Here's what she did. She got up. She got up now like this, and she walked to this side door. Come on, baby. You'll be him. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. But got to that side door over there. Hallelujah. I hope this door opens. I hope it ain't locked. Amen. About that time, you stand there. That girl just flung that thing open. Just opened up that door. And she said, "Come on in, Holy Ghost."
Whoa.
That's all she did. Thank you, brother. Just a young lady that was completely insignificant. She walked up there, she opened the door, and she said, "Come on in, Holy Ghost." 40 got saved in that revival. 31 got baptized with the Holy Ghost. You know why? Because some little insignificant girl walked up. Hey, I said, some little insignificant girl walked up and opened the door and asked the power of God to come in. Hallelujah. There. I'm talking to somebody. I want you to know right now, you're not insignificant if you praise the Lord. Heaven, here's your voice. Could you stand with me? Raise your hands and magnify God. I wonder where that one is tonight. I said, I wonder where that one is tonight. It's going to open the door to revival. Raise your hands and say, Lord, if nobody else wants it, if nobody else wants to get closer, right here, is there anybody that will raise your hands and say, God, I want revival. Amen. You know what this altar calls for? Those of you that feels like you've slipped through the cracks. Amen. Come on in. Those of you that feel like you don't matter. Come on in. Those of you that feel like nobody pays attention. Come on in. Hallelujah. Yeah, here they come. Hallelujah. They should have been about 15 already to this altar with your hands in the air saying, God, do it for me. Come, Sister Alexander. I'm going to ask this. How many of you are willing to be used? How many of you are willing to be used? How many of you are willing to make a difference? How many of you are willing to be the next deacons of this church? How many of you are willing to be the next teachers in this church? How many of you are willing to be the next young man? Amen. How many of you are willing to be the next young lady that God uses in His house for His glory? Amen. Is there anybody in this house that wants more of the power of God? Amen. If something's got a hold of you that you keep battling with, come on in and let God, amen, take it away. Amen. Why don't somebody raise your hands? Hallelujah. That's it, young lady. Heavens are looking at you. Amen. That's it, young lady. Heavens are looking at you. You might just be a teenager, but God starts revival with teenagers. God changes churches with teenagers. Hallelujah. I said God changes churches with teenagers. Oh, glory be to God. Oh, glory be to God. Hallelujah.